I will talk about the lambda and alpha photon scattering 21 centimeter feature of realization. This is a collaboration work with Jordi Miroli Escudé at the astronomy department of Ohio State University. This result is still preliminary because we are in the process of writing the paper, but there are a number of things we want to further check. So that's why this is not recorded, but anyway, this will come out very soon. Okay, so so the 21 centimeter is interesting because it tells us about neutral hydrogen. So as we know, the universe, oh, I'm sorry, this should be realized, I promise, it should be realized. The universe enters a dark age after the recombination at the redshift solvent, and then the structures begin to grow, and well, so here in this schematic diagram of the history of the universe given by Wagner and Law, this shows the history. So in the beginning, a redshift about 30 under current popular cosmologies. This first stars form in some Lomas halos, and then these stars begin to produce photons, which deprive the which destroy the molecule of hydrogen, so you do not have more coolants, and so the more massive halos could not cool, so the star formation rate is slow until a redshift of 15, and then the star forming more massive halos, and then finally, in a redshift about 10, these things begin to overlap, and the universe become realized again. So this yellow thing are neutral hydrogens. So most of the time, at the early stage, it's mostly neutral, and then only a late redshift become realized. Now this is only one possible scenario. I mean, right now there are many different possibilities still being investigated by people. Here is a.
Before Z equals 30, higher Z was hydrogen molecular.
Sorry, what do you say?
Oh, you said H2 is.
No, this is atomic hydrogen.
Okay.
H2 is just a trace amount of H2, which is important for cooling and star formation. Rus. This works some way. Macintosh, but not on this one. But okay, so you will skip this. So this is just download from Nick Gladden's website showing a simulation, which is more animated simulation, which is more intuitive than the dry description item scale. But anyway, so this is shows how supposedly shows how the individual L-based patches form waves and eventually penetrate and produce realized universe. So we have a number of observational probes. So for example, there are this lambda and alpha absorption lines in the high redshift quasar spectrum. For example, this one, you can see there's very little amount of light. Most of the light shortwave of lambda and alpha is current lambda and alpha is already absorbed. So this tells you there's much more hydrogen at redshift around 6. So that's probably indicating that the ionization fraction is increasing at around that redshift, which is maybe the we are beginning to approaching the epoch of realization. But of course, even if this neutral hydrogen at this redshift is only a small fraction, it would still completely absorb this spectra, so we do not know for sure. So here is another possible probe, which is recently released WMAP data. So this is the polarization, TE polarization signal plotted in some weird scale. So this is the prediction without realization, but if you have a realization, this is a very big signal here. So the idea is that if you have a high, you have a early realization, then up to that point, that redshift, all the electrons are free electrons along the line of sight, and these electrons rescatter the unpolarized CMB anisotropy into polarized CMB anisotropy at very large scale. So this seems to indicate that the this map data seems to indicate that the realization must be very high redshift. This I guess need to be further checked out. But anyway, so
that's a pretty strange looking curve, isn't it?
Yes, I agree. But actually, I never saw anyone plot this thing. I mean, before they need this. So we want to look for more information, every possible information. So 21 centimeter transition provides such information. But this is how we view Milky Way in 21 centimeter. So what it tells us is that there are this neutral hydrogens in the disk. That's not that here. The 21 centimeter transition was produced by the hyperfine transition in the neutral, in the ground state of the neutral hydrogen. So it is sensitive to neutral hydrogen. So the strength of this radiation depends on the spin temperature. So this is the number of occupation number of triplet and the singlet neutral hydrogen atoms. This defines the spin temperature Ts, where this T star is just some constant. So the spin temperature comes to a thermoequilibrium at high at a very high redshift with the CMB, and then it would just have the same temperature as the CMB. However, as there are this Lyman alpha coupling, but so it's, well, so let me say that the spin temperature is not necessarily equal to the kinetic temperature of the gas, unless they could be somehow coupled. So during the dark age, they are not coupled. But then, so there are two coupling mechanisms. One mechanism is just a collision. Now that requires higher density. Another possibility is that this Lyman alpha scattering, which is for some massive dissociation and also fueled. So what happens is that the
I mean that I don't see how that links the spin. I don't see how that affects the hyper, maybe about as tall as the hyperfine.
Yeah, yes. So what happens going to happen is that this Lyman alpha photons keep scattering with different neutral atoms. So it's scattered, so it's absorbed by one atom and then it's re-emitted. Now, when it's absorbed, the atom leaves the ground state, for example, from this singlet ground state to the n equal to one, to the higher state. Okay. And then it comes back, not necessarily to the same old state. So then it's changed the state. So then this gives you a temperature, a spin temperature, which is some weighted average of CMB temperature, the radiation background temperature, and the kinetic temperature of the gas. The reason why it's coupled to the kinetic temperature of the gas is the following. So this lambda alpha photons scatter repeatedly with the gas. So it's produced some absorption. And so in the center of the line, the slope of the lambda alpha photon distribution have the same temperature as the gas temperature. If you do not heat the gas up very quickly, so then it will have the same temperature as the gas temperature. And so then this temperature is also coupled to the spin temperature. So that gives you this weighted coupling.
So, which one of these terms is usually bigger?
Which one is
the CMB temperature or the kinetic?
Yes, I will come to that in two slides. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know if you could see this. So yeah. So this is the temperature inclusion. I don't know if you can see this. I probably should plot it with higher rate. This blue curve here is the CMB temperature. This red shape, scale-wise redshift. So from redshift of zero to about 150. This is the gas temperature. The gas temperature is given by this equation. I guess there may be another factor of molecular weight. Forgot to put here. But anyway, so this the temperature evolution of the gas kinetic temperature is this. This is the adiabatic term. And then there's additional term due to heating and cooling. So you could approximate this gas kinetic temperature by this simple formula. Well, this one is from some with some omega b with the new determinant omega b. Well, with some other omega b, this could be different. But anyway, so this is a feat, which if you can tell that there's a dash curve here, which is very close to this solid curve in the lower redshift.
How is this normalized? Where is this gas supposed to be? I mean, at the present time, it's supposed to have a temperature of about 0.03 Kelvin. So where is
yes,
this?
I mean, you have to so this is the adiabatic evolution. So at this region, where the center of the graph, and maybe 50 redshift 50 or something, it would be a perfect approximation. Now later on, depends on how the stars form, this gas would be heat up. So then you would have to include this term. So this evolution would no longer be like this, but more like rising up at some point to high temperature.
So is this gas that hasn't collapsed or hasn't been in a...
Yeah, this is just assuming uniform gas.
Yeah, so the adiabatic law only good for the dark age.
Yes, that's right. In fact, yeah. So this is only good for before stars.
So that's the red curve. There's basically no heat.
Yeah. So this is this solid red curve is adiabatic evolution of gas.
Yeah.
This dash curve is some simple feed, which is given by this, but that one is solid exactly. And then that is the CMB temperature. So as you can see, the CMB temperature is higher than the gas temperature. So that's good. So the radio signature, if you can measure this temperature in this redshift range, so this 21 centimeter will be redshifted, depends on Z. If you can measure their temperature against the normalized CMB temperature, it will be given by this, where this tau z is given by this expression. So it depends on the spin temperature. Spin depends on the spin temperature. Tau also slightly on this. So this.
What is delta t? What is the left hand side?
This one?
Yeah.
This is just the measured CMB temperature at the when you look at this T spin minus
what is the left hand side of this equation?
Yes, I understand. So
yeah,
this is what you measure. This TS is the temperature at that redshift. But when you measure it, it's a, yeah, it's, so it's this one. So so there are a number of projects trying to look for this. For example, this low frequency array, which is coming to some design stage, I guess decision stage, I don't know. So this is very ambitious. So this one, I didn't notice this before, but this is a spanning of several hundred kilometers. And each this point corresponding to this circle, which looks like this.
So, is that a computer generated landscape or is it a real
I just downloaded from their website. So this produced a very sensitive measurement in this range is 10 to 240 megahertz. So I'm not familiar with, but this apparently there are a lot of interference in the Earth or something like that. So one need to have very large aperture to for this long wavelengths. So this is a phase array where all of them are fixed, basically. You form the beam by electronically use the signal.
Where is this supposed to be?
So there are several sites they haven't decided.
Which country?
What?
Which country?
Actually, there's US, United States, there are Australia, yeah. But there are other, I mean, at least the several countries are interested. So anyway, so this is the square kilometer array, which looks like a higher frequency. But there are a number of possible designs. So Chinese design is a big single dish in a strange place. But this is a Canadian design with the balloon here as the receiver. And this is the Power Islands array, some Netherlands design and Australian design. Well, anyway, so these are all fascinating possibilities. So when this are employed, maybe they could find this kind of signal. This is reproduced from Tozzi et al. Paper, 21 centimeter tomography. These are two cosmological simulations. One of them is TCDM, Qt CDM, another open CDM. So this counters shows basically the density fluctuations. Now there are some caution because people have questioned whether this is indeed possible to be detected. For example, just a few days ago, Peng Ou wrote a paper and say probably not because of contamination from radiations of ionized halos. But anyway, so there's some possibility that you can find this density fluctuations. Or maybe you can also pass, another possibility is looking for quasars. So supposedly inside the quasar, this is ionized, so you don't see any signal. This is against the CMB, so these are all just the CMB temperature, so there's no signal here. Now at this region, the temperature is very high, so you have a emission, and the temperature, this is absorption. The reason that it is absorption is that because this lambda alpha photons emitted by the quasar will couple the spin temperature of the gas here to the kinetic temperature, and as I said, kinetic temperature is lower, so this temperature becomes lower, and still haven't been heated up. So this is another interesting possibility. So again, people have to depend on. So this is another possible signature to look for. This is absorption. So I just showed you what to you emission. So this is the absorption. Oh, I forgot to put the credit, but this is the same paper, last one. But so it depends on the model. You can also produce absorptions here just because as I said, the temperature initially is the same as CMP, and then the spin temperature drops to close to kinetic temperature. And then so it produces this absorption. But then, according to this series, the gas temperature rises because it's heated by Lyman alpha photon scattering. And so the temperature rises soon, approaching to the same as the CMB temperature, and then even higher than CMB temperature. So that's why, for example, this is the gas temperature. This is the CMB temperature. Now this gas temperature at some point come to equal to the CMB temperature, then higher than it. So the weighted spin temperature is in this region. So Madal, Maxim, and Rees made this calculation. So the scattering rate, which is relevant for estimating the spin temperature, is given by this integral of annual of the photon flux times cross section integrate over the frequency range. And then there's also estimate the, I'm sorry, so the question is that when will this become important? So this becomes important at the thermalization rate, when this would significantly delay change the temperature from the CMB temperature. So this is the estimate of that rate. So only when this becomes so high, it will be important. One can also estimate the heating temperature, heating rate. So they made this estimate. So they assume that during each collision of the Lyman alpha photon with the atom, it's lost this amount of energy. The photon lost this amount of energy to the gas. This is just due to the recoil, where this is given by the energy of the photon divided by the mass, which is 10 to the minus 8. Now, if I have many collisions, then this is also proportional to the, of course, the collision rate. And so the idea is that you can estimate this heating rate, which in this case, they found that it is very high, in fact, which is 220 Kelvin per giga year at this redshift. So that means that in the fraction, maybe 10% or 20% of the Hubble time after the Lyman alpha is enough to couple the spin temperature, this gas would be heated to much above the CMB temperature. So you would only see a very short period of absorption, then it would be emission. So this is what they intend. So one might want to calculate this heating temperature more exactly, and also the collision rate shown above, and also actually draw the. So to me this also looks very measured, but draw the have a very good understanding, and he. Of the physics of this radiative transfer, and he think this is not the heating rate, because what happens is that although in some collisions the atom lost energy, but sometimes they also gain energy, and although it sounds reasonable that each recoil is given by this amount, but actually it is very uncertain. So. So we try to study this problem more exactly. So the idea is that we can calculate the heating rate by this, where H gives you the Hubble, the inverse Hubble time. So this is the amount per Hubble time. So this N0, you know, would be the unscattered temperature, unscattered spectrum of the Lyman alpha photons. And then after scattering, so if without without scattering, it would just redshift. With scattering, it would produce some absorption. So if it's just a redshift, and suppose you have a flat spectrum, then you just get this flat spectrum. Then after scattering, you get this kind of absorption. At any given redshift, you look at the spectrum of the photons more like this. And we think that the heating rate is given by energy conservation, which is given by unscattered part minus the scattered part. So it will be given by this area. So we try to set out to do this. So initially we started with Monte Carlo. So this is actually produced by one of the Monte Carlos. However, this sounds looks really simple. You just have a photon repeated scattering process, which is well understood. But when you do the Monte Carlo, actually there's a number of things you have to take care of. So, and in fact, this process takes forever to complete. So this one, for example, takes about a week to run on my computer here. And that's already using a number of techniques to improve. So as you can see, the flight has scattered, the spread of the data is very small around this region, because here, here at the Doppler core, where there are a lot of scatterings, here there's much more fluctuation of noise just because the photons spend less time here. So so with this, I have repeated this this different parts many more times than this part. But even with this kind of technique, it's very, very slow. And
So what are the units on the x-axis?
Oh, this, and what's, sorry, this one is just arbitrary, because I'm about to show you another way of calculation. But this is just an arbitrary one.
And what sets the offset of
this
positive
values?
The units.
So this is the Lyman alpha center, Lyman center. Now this is slightly to the right. The absorption is, when you talk this kind of absorption, the profile is slightly asymmetric. So this is the Voigt profile, which is basically cross section in units of x. This x is basically the frequency minus the Lyman center frequency divided by the Doppler frequency. So as you can see, at x about 1, there is this huge peak where most of the scattering took place. But then there are also these damp wings. So actually, we figured out that there's another way to do this calculation, which is analytical. Rubicki and D'Antonio wrote a paper which discussed the recombination, this Lyman alpha scattering process during the recombination period. But the formalism is equally applicable to our case. So this is the radiative transfer equation. So you can write the photon flux as function of this x, which is, as I said, basically the reduced frequency, and tau, which is some time. So this tau is the time divided by basically the mean free time of the photon. So this scattering, so there's this phi is again the Voigt profile, and then there's this this term due to expansion of the universe, which have the redshift, have the photon redshift, and then there's this complicated the distribution. So as you can see, the photons at some x prime would be scattered to x. Except that these things, there are also this one additional term, which is that these photons, some of them are redshifted from a higher continuum, but then some of them are also produced by light emission. So if you have some photon at higher than lemon beta limit, then lemon beta, then when it gets to lemon beta, it's excited atom to lemon beta, and then it decays and could produce lemon alpha. So this this produces this term. So there are some definition of all the quantities, and this redistribution function is given by this.
So really, which term does the emission?
This term.
Oh, I see. How do you weigh it? You know, I mean.
No, this depends on the model. It depends on how many photons produced by this higher lemon beta or lemon gamma, or whatever.
So if you have a photon here that's initially absorbed by that first term, right, how do you re-emit it?
No, this is
that first term, that void term.
So
right?
this thing is basically absorbed, okay?
Right.
This is the reduction of the photon number due to the scattering. This one, but then this one is that all the other scattering come back to this particular frequency beam.
Okay,
So this is just basically Boltzmann my equation. So they made further this Fock-Planck approximation. You can reduce this completely R2 term, the R2J term, integral of R2 times J, to this form, which is much simpler, and it's basically differential of this. So they have a derivation in their paper. So I don't want to get into details, but basic idea is that you expand this frequency, this flux in this x, and then you also expand this R2 term into this A0, A1, A2, and then they can be calculated exactly, and then it turns out that gives you this result. Now this eta here gives you the recoil term.
How do you save the dimensionality of this equation? This equation looks like it has wrong dimensions.
Well, which
x,
one?
So x is position, right, or something like that?
No, I'm sorry. X is frequency.
Oh, x is frequency. It's normalized frequency. Right?
Yes, normalized frequency. I don't know where I defined it.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh yes, here, right, like this one. So the delta nu d is basically Doppler frequency. So after doing this, we get a very simple equation which looks like this. And we can also make the approximation of a steady solution, partial j, partial t equal zero, because actually the relaxation time is very, very small compared with the Hubble time. So then you can set the left side to zero. And then you can solve this equation, which is just an ordinary differential equation. So here is the case when you have a continuum of photons. The equation is linear, so you can separate it into a continuum and injected photons. So see, injection part is equal to zero. So this is the analytical solution. This one is not the same condition as the one Monte Carlo one, so it doesn't have the same shape. Right? I should produce the one which have the same, but I didn't. But anyway, so this is the analytical shape, and this shaded area will gives you the heating rate. So you can do the same thing for the injected photons, assuming a delta function injection. So without scattering, it would look like this step function, all of the photons are injected here, and then redshift to the left side. With scattering, it could produce this kind of different signs. Now these are for two different temperatures. As you can see, it depends. So now the question is that what is the heating rate? So basically, heating rate would be this area on the left side of this step minus this area on the right side of the step. So depends on the conditions, you can see that this read could be positive or negative. So the photon scattering could heat or cool the gas.
Where do you inject photons coming from in this model?
It's from, as I said, it's so high, so if you have a photon, for example, at a frequency higher than Lyman beta,
right.
When it has Lyman beta absorption, the photon, the atom goes to n equal to 2.
Right.
Maybe, I'm sorry, n equal to 3, okay?
Right.
And then when it's come back, it could come back to n equal to, n equal to 1, not directly, but it will also come to n equal to 2, and then decay back to ground state equal to 1. So that transition gives you additional Lyman alpha photon.
Okay. All right, so like for this particular model, we have like this heating term given by the Heaviside function, theta, right?
Yes.
That's why that's.
Yes, so that basically, so that's basically inject the photon at right at the center of the,
okay.
of the lab. Now, actually, we also, besides this delta function, we also consider the possibility that it have a small spread,
right.
But it doesn't change very much because, as you can see, this scale are like 150 or something like this, where the spread would be only around the x equal 1,
right.
So it doesn't matter very much. so then you can calculate this heating rate. So just to show, for example, with this temperature, I'm sorry, this should be 2.6 by at z equal to 10. So this continuum photon have 0.107 k times this j continuum in units of 10 to the minus 21 ergs per second per centimeter square per hertz. So this is much smaller than the rate estimated by Madol et al. They estimated that during a Hubble time, they would heat up the gas to a temperature of a few hundred K. Now that's, of course, that's also depends on this J. But as you can see with this J here, it's very difficult to get that kind of large increase. So this is many orders of smaller than what they estimate. Similarly, these injected photons in this case actually produce cooling. But the rating is also extremely small. So one can also estimate the collision rate. So using this formula, so it's basically an integral of the profile of the line times the cross section integrate, then you can get an exact transition rate. This is basically the same order of magnitude as Manoel et al's estimate, but also probably a little bit smaller. So we should have a more complete model, but this is just a simple toy model. So we assume that the J21 is zero at z greater than 12, and then increase linearly after 12 until redshift of 6. At redshift 6, we assume J21 of 10, but this may or may not be the right number, but basically just gives you an idea of how it looks like. Now, besides the Lyman alpha flux, there's another important heating source, which is X-ray. So we consider the case of no X-ray, or another case, which is the X-ray by halos. Now, this is probably underestimated, because there are also going to be quasars and maybe stars as well produce X-ray. We haven't accounted those for. But anyway, so this is just gives you some sense of what's going to happen. we also assume a sudden reionization at redshift 6. That's not true, but so with all of this, we get this kind of plots. So this is the CMB temperature, this is the gas temperature, and with this model, the spin temperature drops rapidly to the gas temperature, well, to the weighted average, very close to the gas temperature. Maybe you couldn't see the x-axis. This is range from 15 to 6. This is the no X-ray model. Now, if you have some X-ray heating, this would rise up very quickly and produce instead this kind of profile. So at some point, so it still produces some absorption. So the amount of absorption, so the temperature, as you if you observed, looks more like looks like this. So you have a in this case, absorption of, in this case, 90 millikelvin. And in this case, it's smaller. This is only 20, but then there's also increase and then have some small emission. So this is just meant to illustrate.
X is still the normalized frequency.
No, this is the X is the redshift.
Z.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, I should produce larger. Yeah, this is too small to really see it. Yeah, so this is the redshift. Okay, so here is a summary of our result. So what we found is that the lambda alpha photon heating rate is very small. Its effect on the AGM kinetic temperature is entirely negligible. Well, maybe slightly depends on how strong is the radiation, but anyway, so the effect is very small. So also, in order to obtain the accurate coupling rate, so if you want to get the spin temperature right, you also have to get an accurate coupling rate. It is necessary to obtain the exact profile and integrate over the cross section. That would give you the right number. So this lambda alpha photon scattering affect the spin temperature depends on the evolution of the lambda alpha flux. It could produce very large 20 centimeter absorption, but this again depends on how X-ray affected. So soft X-ray may be the most important heating mechanism before reionization, but if it turns on early, then there will be very little absorption feature in 25 centimeter spectrum because it will heat up the gas. Okay.
Questions?
I probably lost it from the beginning of the talk, but what is the signal? What do you look for? You look at quasars and look in absorption, or
this yes. So this is so there's several possible ways to look for things. So I have mostly discussed absorption, which is basically is absorption against the CMB. There's
you look against.
So you measure the temperature of the of this particular frequency range, and then compare with the CMB temperature. Now. Now there are also other possibilities. For example, if you have a high redshift quasar, that also produces radio flux which goes through halos along the line of sight, and that could also produce absorption. That's what we call the 21 centimeter forest by the NATO and LOT, maybe some. But so there is also possibility of emission. But the problem with emission is that there could be a lot of contamination due to other sources. So the absorption is thought that there's less contamination. But then earlier on, people thought it would be heat up, so the absorption period is very small. But as we show, the heating is probably most important for the X-ray than alpha. Yes?
This isn't directly related to everything you're saying, but for the map result of between
Well, this is just another way to look for how the neutral hydrogen evolves during the same period of time.
Yes.
Of course, the CMB does different thing. That's basically CMB scattering by free electrons, not by
How do you set the Doppler temperature? How do you set the Doppler temperature?
Doppler temperature is just the thermal waves, thermal velocity
right.
divided by C times.
How do you find the thermal velocity?
Yes. So that's really depends on how your gas temperature evolves.
Right.
So then you have to solve this equation. So this, you have to solve this equation evolved from early on. So you have a heating, you have heating rates.
So for your models, like do you have any? The X-ray beam rate goes into the second term, right?
Or what? Right. Yes. So there's basically very little cooling at this temperature in the redshift. So basically, it's all heating, and the X-ray dominate this term.
Right.